Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time and Merry Christmas. I'm John Steele. No Stuart with me this week. He's making real money, a real job today, Christmas Day, by the way, as I record this. So it's a solo pod from me this time, and the goal today is to round up the final round of J2 games from last weekend, round 42, as a pretty mammoth and chaotic season came to a close, crazier than usual, I suppose, because of the coronavirus and everything else. Without further ado, Tokushima Vortis were crowned champions, although in the end they finished level on points with Fukuoka. In second place, they were far ahead on goal difference. Fukuoka actually hosted Tokushima in a kind of promotion party last weekend, Fukuoka needing a 7-0 win to snatch the title for themselves. So, yeah, it's hard for me. Math's not my strong point, but I think that's right. In the end, Fukuoka won 1-0 in this game, thanks to a goal from Daisuke Ishizu in the 16th minute. Some of the notable points, really, from this match, there were two good early saves from a Fukuoka goalkeeper making his debut, Takami Yamanoi. I wonder if he'll be first choice for Fukuoka next season, obviously, with Cervantes departing during this transfer window. Fukuoka, knowing that they needed those seven goals to kind of take the title, they did go looking for more. Yuya Yamagishi went close in first half stoppage time, and then Takuya Shigehiro had two chances in the second half. The first one was well saved by Naoto Kami Fukumoto in the Tokushima goal, and the second one took a deflection off a defender and clipped the crossbar. Some other business related to this game: Ricardo Rodriguez, championship winning Tokushima manager, has been officially announced as the new Urawa Reds manager now, and coming in to replace him is another Spanish coach, Daniel Poyatos. He's not very well known by me, or I think by the J-League community in general, but yes, he's another Spanish coach, as mentioned. It's not hard to imagine that Ricardo Rodriguez probably had some input in that decision, or maybe even made a recommendation to Tokushima's front office. They're obviously continuing with their kind of Spanish trajectory. Most recently, Poyatos has been the manager at Panathinaikos in Greece, obviously a massive club. But his real background is in youth development in Spain. He started his coaching career in the youth teams at Espanyol. But I think he's probably most famous for being the under-19s coach at Real Madrid. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how he gets on with Tokushima in J1 next season. An early boost for him is the news that Yuki Kakita, the kind of supremely impressive forward who's been on loan at Tokushima this season from Kashima Antlers, he's going to be on loan again at Tokushima in 2021. So, although Tokushima fans will obviously be sad, maybe even panicking that Ricardo Rodriguez has moved on, they do have a new Spanish manager to get behind, and Yuki Kakita is going to be there next season to ease the transition. So, yeah, a very busy news week all round, not least at Tokushima. Finally on Tokushima for now, we should say congratulations to them on winning J2, I suppose. But they also beat Honda FC 3-0 in their Emperor's Cup quarterfinal game on Wednesday night. That sets up a semi-final clash away at Gamba Osaka, coming up this Sunday, December 27th. Now, third place Nagasaki gave their departing manager, Makoto Teguramori, a good send-off as they beat Kanazawa 3-1 at home at Transcosmos Stadium. Nagasaki scored twice in second-half stoppage time to win this game, though. They were in front at the interval, thanks to a goal from Luan, but Kanazawa equalised midway through the second half when Ryuhei Oishi volleyed in from close range. This goal was initially given offside by the assistant referee, but he was overruled because the ball had actually touched the Nagasaki defender Freire. He'd flicked the ball backwards last. So, yeah, Oishi was onside and the goal stood. The late drama came, first of all, from Ryota Isomura. The Nagasaki player was upended by Takayuki Takeyasu inside the penalty area. Isomura dusted himself down and emphatically scored the penalty. And then with the very last kick of the match, Nagasaki's captain, Hiroki Akino, put a low cross into the box, which was touched in, I think, by Keiji Tamada, the veteran striker, to make it 3-1. To be honest, the replays don't really make it clear whether Tamada got a touch or not, but on the official J-League website, he's credited with the goal, and that's good enough for me. On Teguramori, departing Nagasaki manager, I don't think it's been officially announced yet, but there are lots of rumours that he's going to end up at Vegalta Sendai in J1 for next season. Nagasaki have already announced their new manager. It's Takayuki Yoshida. He was a member of the backroom staff, a coach at Nagasaki this season, and briefly he had a spell as a Vissel Kobe manager in the past. So it looks like evolution, not revolution, next season for Nagasaki. It'll be interesting to see how Yoshida does. Some other games to catch up on from round 42 last weekend. Okayama ended their season with a win, a first victory in 10 matches for them, 2-0 away at Kofu. Really well taken goals in this one from Eiji Shirai and Mizuki Hamada, so well done to them. Jeff Chiba came from behind to beat Kitakyushu 2-1 at Fukuda Denshi Arena. Kitakyushu's opener was an absolutely brilliant strike from Kunitomo Suzuki. I believe the technical term is a thunder bastard. That's a fantastic goal. Jeff's equaliser was also pretty good. Alan Pinheiro, bit of a forgotten man this season really, but he was able to bend in from a good angle from 18 yards to make it 1-1. Jeff's winner came when Takayuki Funiyama's shot hit the post, and Issei Takahashi, the midfielder, was on hand to tuck away the rebound. So Jeff winning 2-1 at home against Kitakyushu. Far more importantly, I think, from a Jeff perspective, is that their Korean boss, Yoon Jong-kwan, has re-signed as manager for next season, for 2021. So he didn't really deliver the results or performances expected this year. We'll see how he does with another campaign next time. Jubilo Iwata also ended their season with a win, 2-1 away against Tochigi at the Kanseki Stadium. This means that Iwata are going to finish in 6th place, probably higher than it looked like they would at one stage. Tochigi are going to finish 10th, fantastic 2020 campaign for them. The hot rumours about Tochigi are that their 39-year-old goalkeeper Hitoshi Shiota is going to be joining Urawa, joining the transfer window. I don't know if that's been officially announced yet. I couldn't find anything official, but it's certainly one of the more head-scratching rumours that I've come across this week. Elsewhere, Montedio Yamagata won 2-0 away at Yamaguchi. Goals in this game from Vinicius Araujo, his 14th of the season for Yamagata, and Shuhei Otsuki, who's mainly been a substitute, but it's his 7th of a pretty good campaign, I would say. And this result, Yamagata winning 2-0, means that they finish in 7th place with a platform to build on for next year, whereas at Yamaguchi finish in 22nd, bottom of the table. Gunma won 1-0 away at Kyoto, thanks to a goal from Daihachi Okamura midway through the first half here. I mention this game mainly because J2's top scorer, Peter Utaka, was actually to blame for giving the ball away for this goal. It was came following a corner kick. Utaka back defending, in inverted commas, for his side, but trying to dribble the ball out of his own penalty area and got it wrong. So Gunma winning 1-0 away at Kyoto is a really good result for them. And we'll let Utaka off because he's been brilliant all season, but it's worth checking out the highlights to see how even the greats can get it wrong sometimes. Mito Hollyhock also won 1-0 away from home. This was at Tokyo Verde. Yoshitake Suzuki scored Mito's goal. This is after Mito had managed to hit the bar twice in the same move. So, again, worth checking out the highlights or the replay to see Mito hit the woodwork twice before finally scoring. The noise around this game really, from a Verde perspective anyway, centres on big trouble that seems to be brewing in their boardroom. Their minority, or one of the minority shareholders, the Zebio Sports Group, which operates a pretty well-known, pretty big chain of sports stores, possibly some other businesses as well that I'm not aware of, they, to all intents and purposes, are mounting a hostile takeover of the club at the moment. And current chairman, Hideyuki Hanyu, who's well-liked by supporters and has always seemed to have the best interests of Verdi at heart, seems poised to quit. One of the main sticking points, I think, Zebio really want to get their hands on Verdi's lucrative, school academy business, which has produced so many J-leaguers in the past and present. At this Mito game, Verdi's home game, there were lots of anti-Zebio banners displayed by the Verdi supporters behind the goal. So I think we're probably heading for a lot of very difficult Google translated finance documents from Tokyo Verdi, but that looks like it's going to end in a metaphorical bloodbath, I think, at boardroom level. So we'll wait to see what happens. Rounding up the last of the games from round 42, Omiya beat Niigata 3-1. At home at NAC 5, this is a game that had a real end of season feel, especially in terms of defending. Atsushi Kurokawa scored twice for Omiya in between a strike from Hijiri Onaga, and Chong Teze handed in a consolation goal for Niigata late on. Now, Chong Teze's contract at Shimizu is not going to be renewed for next season. Obviously, he spent the second half of the campaign on loan at Niigata. We'll wait to see where he's going to be playing next season. It could be Niigata or somewhere else. I don't think anything's been announced, but yeah, he could be a really big get for somebody. His form for Niigata was fantastic in the second half of the season. Matsumoto Yamaga, improving every week it seems, ended their campaign with a 2-0 win at home over Ehime, who finished second bottom. Taro Sugimoto scored a brace for Matsumoto in this game. His first was a penalty after he'd been brought down by Ehime's walking disaster area of a goalkeeper, really, Masahiro Okamoto. I really hope Ehime can strengthen the goalkeeping positions during the winter break. So yeah, Matsumoto winning 2-0 at home against Ehime. Machida Zelvia also ended 2020 on a high, winning 1-0 away at a kind of tired-looking FC Rikyu, I think. A goal of the season contender won it for Machida from Kaina Yoshio, a left-footed curler from the edge of the penalty area that was fantastic. And in the end, Machida finished 19th in the table and Rikyu 16th. So, yeah, again, a kind of end-of-season feel to this game, but a goal of the season contender from Kaina Yoshio. And another Yoshio's made headlines this morning, Christmas Day morning. Yoshio Koizumi, the standout performer for FC Rikyu this season, he's joined Urawa Reds on a full transfer, so he's going to be wearing a different shade of red, not the Bengara of Rikyu next season, but Urawa Reds colours. So yeah, I think most Rikyu supporters obviously going to wish him well, moving to a higher level and a bigger club. You know, we have to be realistic, but I'm sad to see him leave after having such a great season for Rikyu this year. Okay, I think we talked about all of the round two fixtures from last weekend in J2. Before I disappear, just a reminder that this Sunday, the Emperor's Cup semi-finals are coming up. This is the 27th of December. So we have Akita, Blaublitz Akita, J3 champions, away at the J1 champions, Kawasaki Frontale. This game's going to kick off at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Akita beat Fukuyama City 3-1 in their Wednesday night quarterfinal match to set up this tie. So Kawasaki are taking on Akita at 1 p.m. And then at 4 p.m, as mentioned before, Tokushima beat Honda 3-0, Honda FC 3-0 in midweek. So they're travelling to Panasonic Stadium in Suita to take on Gamba Osaka. That's at 4 p.m. on Sunday. So two Emperor's Cup semi-final games to look forward to this weekend. Now, in terms of podcasts, that's all for the J3 and J2 action for 2020. But I think Stuart and I are hoping to be back on a regular basis, kind of rounding up transfer news and speculation and other things. So a lot of transfers being announced this week that I've not mentioned in the pod today because the focus was on the on-field action from last weekend, really. But yeah, we'll be back together soon to talk to you about everything that's been going on in J2 and J3. So yeah, please look out for a new pod coming next week. And yeah, thanks for all your support this year. It's been a crazy 2020, as I think Stu and I have referenced many times. And thanks for sticking with us, downloading and listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you support us on Patreon and put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, we respect that and we appreciate that too. And we do our best to deliver as good a product as we can. If you are a patron, you know that Stuart has gone transfer crazy and is sending out daily or almost daily transfer news wires from his JTalk email account this week. So please check your email if you haven't this week, if you're on holiday already, because you might be missing out on some hot transfer details straight from Stuart Smith. So yeah, thanks again everyone. I hope you've enjoyed 2020 on a J3 and J2 tip. And yeah, we'll talk to you again next week with some transfer speculation, I think. So yeah, Merry Christmas, enjoy the holidays. We'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.